Today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
We celebrate Christmas, but we need to know the essence of it, the significance of the sacrifice that God made, which atones for man's sins. It enables us to worship and to praise. We should appreciate the fact that for us, it is salvation from our sins. And every man needs to be freed from sin. Every woman needs a clean slate. That's why when you come here at Truth Revealed, I try to give you that.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Significance of the Birth of Christ. Today, Bishop will be teaching from John 3:16 and 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10.
I'm sharing with you a two-part message here in our early service and in our late service today called God's Gift to Humanity. Today's message in our early service is entitled The Significance of the Birth of Christ. I want to deal with significance of the birth of Christ. Echo this for you young families. I saw something so beautiful this morning as I was driving in. I saw Friday with his children, and it looks like his relatives that were walking with him. He was suited and like a coat and a tie, but the kids were walking with their father or with someone they trusted. And it made me pause in the parking lot before I turned in. I know I got to get here to preach, and I know I need to be in my office getting exchange, getting my clothes changed to get ready for you and eat a little breakfast. But it made me pause for a moment to just look at this man walking with kids. And it's something that I don't see often. A man spending time or walking with kids and making sure they're safe. One of the phenomenal things I saw in Israel when I went there that blew my mind and made me cry is thousands of men walking their kids to school. That was part of a culture that I've never seen before. And I saw a small glimpse of that this morning with Friday, who's a member here of the church. He's an usher in today. I saw him with an usher badge on. But he was walking his kids, and it was a little cold. But he was walking them until they got to the front of the church and went inside. And it just really touched my heart how God would take something that he loved, like his son, that he walks with, talks with, and then send him to die for people who don't care. It is God's gift. I want you to think about offering the one you love for the sins of many. There's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. Father, I thank you for this moment. I pray that the essence of the gift to humanity would be felt and seen, that we would not run over this moment, that we would really give attention to the love that you have for us. And I pray that the magnitude, the colossal magnitude of this moment would rest heavily on the hearts of your people. Stamp your image in our hearts. Let the words of my mouth weigh 10 pounds on the consciousness of your people, even by the Spirit. I thank you for that. I give you praise for revelation knowledge flowing freely, unhindered, uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic or dominion in the earth realm occupied by demon forces. Thank you, Lord, for a portal in open heaven to receive the download from God into the hearts of your people. Let it be so now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel a sensitivity here. I think it's important for me to remain sensitive to the Holy Ghost and for you to remain sensitive as you receive from the Lord. John the Revelator is also John, Saint John, who writes Saint John. He's a little different from the other synoptic gospel writers, and he also writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He writes the book of Revelation, and he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have or live through him, that we might live through him, that we might soar through him. Our vitality, our life, our Zoe will come through his Son. And this is love, he said. You may think you know love because you're looking at filio. But he said, let me show you what real love is about. It's not that we love God or that you feel warm. That's not the love here. Ooh, I feel love. I feel warm. Get that out. That's base love. He said, but this is the love, that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He didn't just say, I love you, but he sent his pure Son as a sacrifice, atoning sacrifice, at one meant sacrifice for the sins of the world. So Jesus had to be born to remove the sins of humanity through a perfect sacrifice. It's important that we understand that clearly. The birth of Jesus is really about the death of Jesus. He had to be born to be the atoning sacrifice for the world. It is a gift. It is a perfect sacrifice and a perfect gift for humanity. It's important to understand God didn't permit an animal to be that sacrifice. He used those things with Moses and the children of Israel to show us just how important blood is to the sacrifice. The best of you is not your hairdo or the clothes that you're wearing. The best of you is the life of your flesh, which is your blood. That's why when it's spilled, we have penalty for that. I can cut your hair off and they may slap me with a penalty. They may make me pay a fine. But if I shed blood, it's different. You can lose hair, but we can't lose too much blood. And without the shedding of the precious stuff that's in us, the precious thing that's in us, there is no remission of sin. And God did not permit the animal sacrifice to settle the debt between God and humanity. He needed a pure sacrifice from his one and only Son. John chapter 1 says that St. John chapter 1 says he was not born of the will of flesh nor of man. In other words, it wasn't because of the passion between a man and a woman that he was produced. Actually, he took his father, his biological father, out, his natural father, out of the equation. The Bible says in the book of Luke that the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary without intercourse. And she was the immaculate conception took place. In other words, she got pregnant without knowing a man. The first artificial insemination. And so many people have a problem with that. But it's happening even today. Women that don't even like men are having babies. It's called artificial insemination. And if you can have a baby without a man and man can do it, why is it hard to believe Holy Ghost just overshadowed the woman, touched her fallopian tubes, the egg as it was released, made it large, it came from the ovaries. I think I understand all of that. And the fallopian conception took place and it lodged in the uterus and it stuck there on the side of it and started to grow. Miracles, signs, and wonders without even knowing a man, because God didn't want any tainted blood in the line as this sacrifice was walking to the cross. We celebrate Christmas, but we need to know the essence of it, the significance of the sacrifice that God made, which atones for man's sins. It enables us to worship and to praise. We should appreciate the fact that for us, it is salvation from our sins. And every man needs to be freed from sin. Every woman needs a clean slate. That's why when you come here at Truth Revealed, I try to give you that. As a pastor, I'm not the forgiver of sins, but I try to give everyone. Pastor Sabrina and our team does the same thing. I don't care what you did, where you were, what you used to do. It doesn't matter to me. And don't bring me no resumes. What I want is a clean slate. Starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough, so rough, but we're going to make it. You can start over by putting one foot ahead of the next, in front of the next. And that's what we want to do in our church. Don't bring me all what they did. If it's pedophilia, I need to know. Because that's against the law. You can't be around kids. But if it's not pedophilia, I don't need to know everything that happened in your life. You want to work with kids, I got to do a background check on you. So what you do can mess you up. Amen. And so we protect children in the ministry. That's why I don't want anybody working with youth that got a weird spirit. You say what you want. I'm a shepherd. I have a staff and a rod, and I beat wolves off. You ain't playing with no kids. You got that kind of mindset. You better get to the cross quickly and atone for your sins. I don't know why I had to say that, but don't play with me. So I'll stop all of the pornography and all of this other stuff that you're watching if it's leading you down the wrong path. Get your head together. We don't play with kids. Listen, somebody's watching me and you need to hear what I'm saying. Don't play with kids. That ain't God. Oh my God. We protect kids. Can somebody say amen? Thank you, Lord. One of the things to catch alligators that the slave master used to do is take infants and put them by rivers as bait. To pull the alligator out so they can get leather. You need to understand that. And if you're not careful, parents, you'll be putting your baby by a river of crocodiles without a bull rush or a basket. If you open them up to the world, there are crocodile spirits that are lurking in the midst of us. And somebody better care about the babies. You don't put them in anybody's hand. You don't let them stay at everybody's house. Oh, my God. So all of that, Bishop, I'm tired and I just need a break. You don't do it. You had them, didn't you? And if you had them, you stick with them. It'll keep you from having five more. Let me get back to the message. To the next episode. It enables us to appreciate the fact that for us, he saved us from our sins. There's a need for a sacrifice. I need to talk about the law of significance. John C. Maxwell, and we believe in John Maxwell and believe in his teaching on leadership. He wrote a book called The Power of Significance, and I would encourage leaders to get that. If you got leadership potential or an ability, get the book by John C. Maxwell called Leadership, The Power of Significance. I think it would be good, and next year we're doing what we call the year of activation. And one of the things that I want to launch next year is a campaign. I'm looking for the brand, the name for it, to have each ministry develop a library for those who will participate in it. So say, for instance, Financial IQ will have several books that we recommend that you add to your repertoire to your library so you can access at any time and grow your IQ level. For youth ministry, there are handbooks and things that we need. If you're going to work with kids, you need to educate yourself so you can just go off. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. You need to have modern information about what's going on because things have shifted since 2007 with the opening up of the internet. Our kids are accessing knowledge, and with the introduction of AI, they're accessing things at an alarming rate. And if you're not an active parent, you're left behind. One of the worst things you can do is give a child a phone, iPhone, and an iPad and leave them to themselves. They need to be reading books and slow down their access to knowledge without discipline and without maturity. They are eating the forbidden apple. Eve had to be, God made her into a woman. So say for instance, if she was created at a 21 year age, she did have at least maturity when she ate the apple. She knew the difference between right and wrong. But if you allow kids to given an opportunity to make a decision between right and wrong, and they're not mature, they're gonna go after their flesh. If you give them an opportunity to eat beans or to eat candy, guess what they're gonna choose? They're gonna go with what feels good. It's killing their teeth. Cavities are just hitting our kids, but they will go after what tastes better versus what's right. So we have to guide them. We have to shape consensus. We don't leave them to a child left to make decisions by themselves will bring their mother to shame. That's what the Bible say. So you don't say, what do you want? And you do, that's not good parent. What do you want? What do you want to eat today? Well, I want candy. Good. No, you say, these are the parameters here, and you can choose within these three. Amen. That's how it works. Amen. You never leave a kid alone to make a decision, because if you do that and they're left alone, they will bring their mother and father to shame. That's what the Bible says. So don't get shocked when you see somebody doing something or kid doing something that's not godly if you didn't shape the consensus. The law of significance is so important, but the power of significance is a book that I recommend. And we're going to be directing our people to resources that's going to help you to be the best that you can be. The women's ministry are dealing with bondage breakers right now. It's a great book. You need to have that in your library. You're going to see me activating the year of activation, activating our people to get resources. That means that every leader is going to have to grow, because the people are growing. You can't just say, this is what I used to do. You have to have a fresh vision about ministry. And you're going to see it catch all over the country, all over the world. Ignorant leadership is out. Amen. Yesterday's knowledge is out. There must be a fresh flow if you're going to be a modern day leader. So people try to achieve great things by themselves, namely or mainly because of the size of their ego. People are trying, they're ambitious, but it's not because it's a vision from God. Usually we try to do great things because we have a large ego. Even sometimes a level of insecurity can drive a person to do things. Sometimes naivete, I think is the way I want to say it. We're naive about it, and we just explore things that we're not familiar with, just diving into it. You ever been around someone that you can tell they don't know what they're talking about, but they just keep talking? It's called a word salad. Instead of just being quiet, nobody would know you don't know. And you could be taking mental notes as people. This is what the president, President Trump, does. He may not know what's going on, but he'll pull great minds and say, talk, talk, talk. And he's just looking, taking notes. And out of that, he'll say, I don't want to do none of that. Because, see, he picked it up while they were talking. And then he's able to say, do this, that, and the other. Leaders should learn from that. If you don't know, pull great minds around you, let them talk, and then you're able to take notes and say, that don't sound good. Use some wisdom and implement the best thing. This is what we should do. But some people come in with a word salad, just saying things, and there's no structure to it. Sometimes that drives people. They have an opportunity to speak, and they start saying things, but they're naive. Even their temperament is off. So I believe one is too small of a number to achieve much. The number one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. Let me say it again. The number one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. In other words, you can't achieve it alone. I'm all by myself. I'm going to do it myself. I don't need anyone. Your number one is a too small of a number to achieve greatness. You must connect with significance. Thank you, Lord. And the more significant, the greater the chance of achieving greatness. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about the law of significance. I want to talk a moment about the importance of significance. Significance means having meaningful importance. There should be meaning and importance if it's significant. It is also the actual meaning of something. So if you wanted to know what it means, you want to find out the significance of it. If you wanted to know what a word means, you want to know the significance of the word. If you wanted to know what the word caveat means, you're going to find out, you're going to do the definition, get the definition so you can properly use it. What is the significance of the word? If you don't know what it means, you don't know the significance of it. If you wanted to know what the word Pacific means versus the word Atlantic means, there's a difference. Well, we know both of them are oceans, but what is the difference? Why wouldn't all oceans be called Atlantic? Why would the one on the West Coast be called Pacific? The reason why is Magellan, when he sailed his ships and got to the Pacific Ocean, it was peaceful, so he called it peace. That's what Pacific means. So if you knew that, you say, whoa, I see the significance of Pacific. It means peaceful. It didn't mean there's no storms, but that's what he called it when he sailed there. So what is the opposite? When he was in the Atlantic, as we know it now, he called it Atlantic because it was boastful. And if you look up Atlantic, it doesn't mean peaceful. It means the waters are boastful. The waters are rough. Glory to God. That one thing, that understanding right there just opened you up. So if you said to someone, I speak Pacific over your life, you're saying I speak peace to your storms, a calming of your waters. And you just open somebody up to a new way of seeing things. Now they got to see a sailing. They got to see how do you navigate in the night and maintain peace. Significance is important to peace, and it's important to a church and its people. So it means meaningful or important. A certain date may be significant, like the day you were born or the day you got married, birthdays and anniversaries. Why do we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries? Because it's significant. I believe I'm preaching to the right people. Why would we talk about Christmas? Because you got to look to the significance of it. Well, why would we talk about Christmas and, oh, I got the shop? You're missing significance. Christmas. And before you all and all of the apostolic folk to say we are sinners if we have a tree in our house, because Jeremiah said don't put a tree up. Man, we're so empty, man, as a people. Man, I can put a tree up and still love the Lord. God don't have me bound by these laws and rules and regulations of the world, man. I'm not worshiping a tree. They worshiped it. Moses put a serpent of brass up like this here. God told him to do it. The medical science today use the same symbol. You want to throw that away too? Moses put it up. He held it up. And everyone that looked to it in the book of Numbers were healed. The antidote for their sins, the antidote for the venom that was in their vein as they were bitten by fiery serpents, the antidote was in their faith as they obeyed God and looked to the serpent of brass. Years later, they were in the hills worshiping it, centuries later. And one of the kings of Israel grabbed that serpent of brass and grinded it into flour. Because it shifted, the significance of it changed. At one time, it was healing for the nation. But over a period of time, they began to worship it and not worship the one who told them to create it. And one of the kings of Israel looked at that and said, "This is not God. What used to be good turned into idolatry." And he grinded it into fine flour. This is what happens with religion. We're so caught up with what we used to do. We worship what we came out of. Well, I came from the old church. But sometimes God has to grind it into flour so we can have peace and we can start moving to what God is doing now.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Significance of the Birth of Christ, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th, and are available at the Communication and Promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hobart at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. And men, it is time to register for Legatus, the 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th.
Join the New Year's Eve crossover celebration service on Tuesday, December 31st. What better way to step into the year of activation than by spending it praising and thanking God? Doors will open at 9 p.m. and the worship experience starts at 10 p.m. So come early to get your seat.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Without reaching out a hand to give.